In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this third Sunday of Lent brings us to almost the halfway point in this season. The fatigue of applying ourselves to one or more resolutions, which we don't normally practice during the rest of the year, is perhaps beginning to take its toll on us. Maybe there have already been falls into sins that we had promised God and ourselves that this Lent we would finally muster the strength to avoid. It is thus often around this time of the Lenten season that the evil one and the fallen angels begin stealthily creeping up, hoping to remain unnoticed as we give in to seeds of discouragement and laxity that they will try to plant in our souls. This is too often the fatal error. Right now, the good Lord is bowing low, despite our betrayals, and offering us the grace of sincere conversion. Too many of us, however, allow ourselves to be convinced that the past failures have rendered us unworthy and incapable. And becoming more and more negligent with each day, we eventually give up. For many souls, where is this more true than in the domain of bodily purity? St. Paul places this virtue of purity at the forefront of today's epistle, admonishing us all in these words, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you as becometh saints. Understand that no fornicator or unclean or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now it must be admitted that before the vice and sin of impurity, many individuals often feel a certain sense of helplessness. Often accompanying the violence of these temptations is a certain underlying, perhaps unspoken, conviction that despite our best efforts and whatever progress we may make, the day will come when we will be overpowered by the enemy and commit a shameful fault born of lust. Now, far be it from me to suggest, as the Pelagian heretics maintained, that we can overcome impurity or any other sin by our own determination, unaided by divine grace. Nevertheless, it is very helpful in combating vice and sin to put it in its proper perspective, to not have false ideas. For despite the violence of certain temptations against purity, victory over them remains possible. Despite the repeated failures of the past, these are no guarantor of what will come in the future. Again, fundamental to defeating any given sin, any vice, is this profound conviction that, with God's grace, it is possible to do so. Saint Augustine, as many of you know, fell into many sins born of lust before his conversion. But once converted, he was sustained in purity by the example of the saints before him and the grace of the sacraments. Let no one object, moreover, that this is all well and good for the saints, but that when it comes to us, we who are not as holy as they, it's another matter entirely. We should never content ourselves with our own very limited, very faulty ideas about God's designs for us. For these ideas always fall very short of the mark. Would we honestly imagine that the canonized saints of Holy Mother Church anticipated that they would one day be raised to the glory of the altar? Remember, they were saints, and so they were humble. The sacraments, in particular, the Holy Eucharist, and confession must be like our artillery or the air support in this battle against impurity, weapons that decimate the enemy into submission and surrender. For far too many souls, after a grave fall, wait some length of time before seeking sacramental absolution. But it truly does make all the difference when we immediately make a good confession after such sins. Regarding the near occasion of sin, if these occasions absolutely cannot be avoided because some duty of ours brings us into contact with them, well then, during the contact, we must strengthen our interior resolve by many prayers and acts of love for holy purity. Of course, we must also vigilantly guard our eyes, our sense of touch, and our imagination. Most importantly, though, it is the heart which must be mortified. In friendships, let us be sure to diligently avoid all that could be overly sentimental or dangerous. Even those who are engaged to be married should avoid behavior that is overly affectionate. Their love, to be blessed by God, must be pure. And it cannot be doubted that the constant application to the duties of our state and life is absolutely necessary for preventing a fall of this nature. Satan and his demons never fail to take advantage of our idleness. Even without them, our flesh, weakened by original sin, is always disposed to seek rather pleasure over pain, when not engaged in prayer, some work, some necessary task, or lawful recreation and rest that we need. Let us fill our days with frequent, brief, but very fervent prayers, straight to God, straight from the heart. These constant elevations of the mind and soul to God, especially during our work, will fill the cracks of our day like a powerful cement and bring down God's grace upon us to keep us strong. If we can bring ourselves to apply these measures in our daily lives, well, though it may take some time, God will surely make us pure. Indeed, with the purity becoming his saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.